Take a look on page 66, on the right column, first paragraph. Daber of the name Yisroel, via Shuvah. When the name Yisroel had traveled to some distance out of Mitzrayim, Hashem told Moshe to have them start traveling back toward Mitzrayim. And the idea there was that the Mitzrayim would consider them as being confused and having lost their way. Yesh lomar, time lo inyan, possible to say, sheyitzias Mitzrayim hayameis shelo b'hadraga. Leaving Mitzrayim was a miracle that occurred without hadraga, means to say without a gradual step-by-step process. And many of the Sforim talk about this, that when we left Mitzrayim on the first night, we were miraculously lifted from a very low state into one of the highest states, instead of having to go step by step. And that occurs for us on the first night of Pesach in the Seder. That's when we experience, it's called a diluk. We're jumping from one madrega to the next, as opposed to walking one step at a time. The Hilashoa. That type of geula, however, is only temporary. It will last for a certain period of time. V'ratza Hashem Yisborach sheyishar geula zu ba'atzmut Yisroel. But Hashem wanted for us that this redemption should remain in the very being of the Jewish people. He didn't want it to dissipate. When you have this kind of a leap, it's possible that you'll leap and for that moment experience redemption, but nothing will remain, because it really is beyond us. What we've achieved is really beyond who we are.
So it doesn't endure.
Right, it doesn't endure.
Is that word ba'atzmut or ba'atzmut?
Atzmut, which means in the very
bond.
Being. Right, like
so
the word bone,
right.
Etzem,
okay.
It can mean intrinsic, in one's very being.
So you're saying that only with the special, this is something that's outside the bounds of nature,
mm-hmm.
So a special help of Hashem are we mm-hmm. able to take this inside our body, our bones, and have
well,
it last.
Well, the redemption itself
and have it last,
was from Hashem, but he didn't say yet how we're going to have it last.
Okay.
He's just saying that Hashem wants that from us. So he didn't want this redemption, which was miraculous, to slip away. Wanted to remain with it.
And we get the sitting at the Seder table.
That's right. V'chein ratzon Hashem Yisborach tamid mikol yish Yisroel le'eis mitzo hashoa. So it is, likewise, Hashem's will always for every Jew at the time when the hour is appropriate. Le'eis mitzo means when something is found, when an opportunity is possible and available.
This magic moment.
Right. Shein adam, because we know from Pirkei Avos, there's no person who does not have his time or her time. Va'az sorich likvoa belivo alacharka sheyeda lehisnahe gam be'is ha-hester. At that moment, when we have some kind of spiritual opportunity, when we sense that a door is open and we've grown, it's not sufficient that we take that step or that jump and that growth, but we try and impress it and have it kavua, established, fixed in our heart, so it will remain with us even later during a time of concealment or darkness. So we want to do something when we have the opening to hold on to it when the opening or when the light of that opening passes. That's why Hashem told them to travel backward toward Mitzrayim, because now when they would move forward it would be on their own. Because you got here through a miracle. But you need to put forth some effort here. So go back a little bit. And in going back, now when you step ahead, it will be through your own effort.
I remember years ago, Rabbi Lohenbaum, maybe one of the weeks you were out of town, mm-hmm. he gave a drash, and he spoke about where the ger comes to Hillel, and he says to stand on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about it, almost a very similar idea, the idea that people want to take sort of spiritual jumps. They want to get
right.
to sort of high levels without sort of the progression. It's a very similar
yeah.
idea.
Nissan?
Oh, I was just thinking, it's like being driven someplace, and then you really have to drive it on your own in order to really remember how to get there.
Even when you kind of take note of
right.
that,
you turn left here,
driving,
it doesn't yeah. register the same way.
That's
yeah.
very true. Therefore, they went back and they would then progress from their own efforts. Ulakach, and therefore, after they had returned toward Mitzrayim and they saw the Mitzrim closing in on them, Vayitzaku, they screamed, they cried out to God to be saved. He says, this is difficult. After they saw all these tremendous miracles from God, even as they saw the Egyptians closing in on them, why should they be afraid? Certainly at that point they realized Hashem was not bound and he could save them in any way possible. Ach ki yadu, because now they understood that they had to do something on their own. Sure, they knew that God could save them, but because they had been sent back, the message was clear to them now that God wants something from us, and if this is up to us, it appears like we're really doomed. Here's the sea and here's the Mitzrayim. Where's room?
So the pachad that they felt by the sea, in a certain sense, was you could say a justification for it,
right?
Because
this mahala.
Because what schus do they have? Even the malachim said that they didn't have the schus to be saved there.
So they were worried because they had to do this on their own merit.
That's what they thought. That's what we think right now.
They
were not necessarily on their own merit, but they were not reliant, right, on Hashem's infinite abilities.
Well,
because they had the message that something had to come to
them. Well, the reason I'm saying using the word own merit is it seems that this is the first instance since they merited being taken out of Mitzrayim the way they were yanked out, that they again now have to stand on their own feet to make some kind of freedom of choice. That's not even by merit.
Okay. Now, in that respect, we really didn't merit Yetzias Mitzrayim because our being yanked out of there was not a result of our zechus. It was because of Hashem's promise to Avraham.
But I thought it was also because, you know, that we still
didn't change our
name. We didn't do
those are some things that we did, but it did not equal what was done for us. Because those were little things, but it was not truly on account of them that we were redeemed. That gave something. It gave us some presence there, some spiritual presence. But we couldn't say that because of those things we left Mitzrayim.
Okay.
That's how in general that's understood.
Is this discussion totally on the spiritual plane or is it physical and adult?
Physical too. Things that they had to do to try and figure out what they could do to get themselves out of the situation.
I feel like we were still like children.
Yeah.
Children.
Right. And the process of Sfiras HaOmer then was to grow up. We're compared to an infant in Mitzrayim.
Mm-hmm.
Tinuk, in a fetal position, with his head between his knees. V'zesh ha'kasuv shahayu nesunim b'din, sh'al pi din yigalu ata, v'harei zafu ligal gam b'din. He says that's what refers to what Hilly mentioned, that right now, at this point, there was a judgment from Shemayim. And the judgment was Alpi Din, no longer Alpi Chesed, through God's ultimate kindness could they be redeemed, but in Din, in judgment, were they worthy of redemption. So now it was really looking more at their own Zechus. And they were Zoche. Now this goes back to what you pointed out, Bruce. Now they actually merited to be redeemed even through judgment, not only through kindness and compassion. B'chol ma'aseh Hashem yisparach l'tova k'mo shekarsu nifloseho machshavoseho eleinu shehoya haratzon sheyigalu gam api din. God's thoughts, of course, are always in order to do good. As it's written, His wonders and His thoughts are for us. And Hashem wanted that the redemption occur through din, because that's greater. Right? When something is a pure act of kindness, so thank God we're out. But if it's through Deen, we've merited some of it on our own, and that endures. So So ultimately Hashem wanted that for us, that we'd be able to have part of our own merit. V'haya mikodem b'neis sheyihye hachana alacharkach sheyihye gam alpidin kanal. He says, and therefore mikodem, beforehand, the redemption was through a miracle, and that would be a preparation for us, so we try and hang on to it, knowing what we could achieve, and afterwards strive to accomplish it, even through Deen.
This is the origin of the concept of credit.
Of credit?
Yeah.
How do
well,
you
it's given on credit, that they do something to earn, earn it back.
The Efshar Zeshek Pesach B'nai Yisrael told Lanu Avod Mitzrayim Pirisha Chashishu Shelo Yuflo Ligbor Me'atman. That's what it says. It says it's better that we're serving Mitzrayim. It's better that. What does that mean? That they were afraid that they couldn't overpower and be victorious on their own. We'd rather serve them. We can't do this on our own. V'haya ritzonam sheben Mitzrayim atzmo yari hazman ad sheyihyu ruin me'atzman. Now he says this now to their own zechus. He says this really the Kav zechus, page 66, Ali, to the Jewish people. What did it mean when they said it's better that we serve Mitzrayim? He said it's not that they wanted to go back, but rather that they said, let us stay in Mitzrayim a little while longer so we can build up merit on our own and get out by ourselves. Not that we want to go back and serve them, but we need more time to work on ourselves. V'haya b'nokel yoser, and then it would be easier. Ki Hashem yisparach yisiyach anokhi ha'alcha gamalo. Hashem promised him, I will take you, promised he will take us out. Ach ki retzon Hashem yisparach haya shehen ba'atzma mamash yizkru ayidei neis ha'kodu. But the will, as we said before, is that God wanted us to pull ourselves out on our own through the aid or the awareness of the miracle. As we can associate this with a statement from the Chachamim that says, if the Jewish people were to keep two Shabbases, we would be redeemed. He says from the Rim, in the name of the Rebbe Reb Shmelke of Nicholsburg, he says it appears that this is what was stated. Shabbos Rishon. Why does it say two Shabboses? If we were to keep two Shabboses, we'd be redeemed. The first Shabbos is Hachonah. That's a preparation. It's like a gift. We're being prepared. Sheyihya b'yamos hachol avoda kura'ui. So that the weekdays which follow that Shabbos, we can live our lives appropriately as Jews and serve God. Or the Shabbos, the first one, helps us to gain a perspective and an awareness as to what we need to do. And then when we plunge into the weekday, we have that awareness from the previous Shabbos.
So what is it called? The set of weekdays to follow the Shabbos, the second Shabbos?
Then the second Shabbos is the one that follows them. That's what he says right here. Lihiyos acharkach Shabbos perui. Then the next Shabbos will be truly what Shabbos can be, because that will be a result of our work during the week, of our own effort. That's right. So the first one is like a gift. It helps us plow through the work week with our sight focused, and then the second Shabbos is truly what Shabbos can be. Shitzoriv lihiyos achar yemei avoda, because Shabbos really, ultimately speaking, in its completeness, is full after a week of avodah.
So the Chazal, where it says that one who is not osek on Erev Shabbos doesn't eat on Shabbos. So in a certain sense, you could sort of do a chicken and egg thing. One who hasn't had a Shabbos doesn't know to be osek on Erev
Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, yeah.
The previous
one. Yeah, that's the new one. But who can know? Shabbos Rishon. He says this is the same principle as he's stating here. Mm-hmm. The same concept. The first Shabbos of the two, who may Hashem yisporach, that cometh from God. Belihi sogarus. It's without our own earthly awakening. Lihios ruin lazat, even though we may not be fitting or meritorious. But we get it as a gift from God, and that lifts our vision and our sights. Then a person will learn during the week from the revelation of the previous Shabbos, Gam al Yamos Hafol, how we need to conduct ourselves during the week. Kadesha Yihya Kharkach Shabbos Bisiyua Avodis Yimei Hafol, so that the following Shabbos will be supported by all the week, the work that we did during the week. This is just the same concept as the miracle of being redeemed from the Mitzrayim and then turning back so we could emerge on our own. Now it's interesting though, because even though conceptually this is of course very consistent, because once we're redeemed from the Mitzrayim, that each day of counting the Omer to Shavuos is one day of our own avoda. But within those 49 days of our own hard work, there is one very great miracle, which is the splitting of the Red Sea,
right,
that occurs on Shavuos Shel Pesach. There was somewhere in here where even though we had to rely on our own avoda, but we needed one more miracle to get out.
It's kind of like the jackpot miracle. You don't know when it's going to come, but it's, well, it's in there.
Did we go back before? This was before.
This is before the answer, right?
Because I was thinking that, you know, in light of what you were saying, I know the nisim that were performed in Egypt, would, you know, for not just our behalf, but to show the Egyptians he was Hashem, to show his miracles to him, right, but also to bring us to believe in Hashem.
Yes.
All right. So though we had a nes, and then we had amuna, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, or we had nes that led us to do avoda, all right? But after that, we had to do an avoda in order to bring the nes,
right,
which could be kriyas yamsu.
Right.
Yamsu.
Which
so,
makes sense, because probably
exactly.
Right? I'm sorry, not shuttling it.
So it's the same thing as what you're saying with Shabbos. We needed Shabbos, let's say that those are the nesim.
Mm-hmm.
We needed Shabbos to show us what Shabbos is, or we needed the nisim to show us that this was Hashem, but then we needed to work through that period of time in order to bring another nes, or just to be able to know how to deal with Shabbos. So it's,
and of course the word for nes and the for test are the same words.
Nisayon. No, interesting. Interesting.
Didn't the monks start falling after they crossed the sea?
Yeah.
And there were two things, two miraculous things.
There were other miracles.
Yeah, there
were. The moon fell, mm-hmm, the air of Miriam, mm-hmm, their clothes never, you know, wore out, mm-hmm, all these, mm-hmm, things, the shelter that they had. There were other miracles. But those 49 days, though, they somehow re-achieved through their, mm-hmm, own avoda, even though they were being supported.
So even though there were other miracles,
it was
going on.
Right. They were still working on themselves, working hard,
mm-hmm,
to get, mm-hmm, the level of, right, of the giving of the Torah, which was soon, through their own merit.
Mm-hmm. So the first nisim,
it was both,
in Mitzrayim were out of chesed, and later nisim were out of something we did, at least in some
there
way we deserved it.
There,
right.
Something more. Okay. And maybe that effort of not shown to jump into the sea, you know, up into his neck, to his mouth, was representative of the readiness of Klal Yisrael now to just move ahead on their own.
Is there any mitzvahs in Hashem? Gives the mitzvahs in the order he gives them. Is there any background as to have just done something to merit any of these, or discussion on that?
Yeah, actually there are a couple of things. Like, for example, you see, because Abraham did such and such, so something happened to us later on in the future time. Like when he was mispalo at those places, when he was walking through Israel, he was mispalo for us, what would happen to us in our history later. And also, there's one thing that's just slipping my mind right now, but as a result of something that he said, we were Zophah. I think, for example, when he said to the king of Sodom that he will not take from him even a shoelace, that there was, if I recall correctly, that there was the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin were related to what he said at that time. I have some recollection of that.
The Shabbos that we kept. Is there a... Did that Shabbos set the tone for our merits for the week? In a sense, in the same sense that the Ramchal talks about, our davening during the day actually set the tone for our parnasa. It's
for
not how fast we get to do our parnasa that we should take our time to daven. Is that, can you liken to the same thing?
Right.
That,
But the bracha of Shabbos plays itself out during the week, just like our davening during the morning plays itself out during the day. Yeah, the real effort is in the, what's that?
If you let it in,
sure.
You can pick me back many times to Shabbos. It's great to Shabbos. But as soon as you get back to the Sunday, it's back in the drudgery of the carry Shabbos with people and kicks it out of the way. I think that's what he's saying. We just carry it through.
And that's very, very challenging. The other problem with it is that there's a pitfall there, because if we're looking toward the past to grow, mm-hmm. it's possible that if we say, if I only could achieve this week what I did last week, mm-hmm. there's something about that which is off. Because that's in the past. What we're trying to do is take that vision and apply it to the future, in however it must be applied. Not to say, I did last week and I want to repeat what I did this week. And sometimes we do that. Oh, that was such a great moment, I want to repeat it, and then that never works.
Yeah.
Well, I was listening to a tape of Rabbi Katz on Pesach, and he gave a mashal from the Rambam that sort of illuminates this concept very well. He says, it says in Mishlei, "Ksil b'choshech holech," a fool walks in darkness, and he says, the Rambam's metaphor was that of a person walking on a dark, a completely dark plain. He says there's a moment of lightning that illuminates the whole plain, after which it's dark again, but now he's seen where he can go. Before, he was just walking, right. He had no sense of proportion, right. Direction, whatever. Now he's seen where he can go.
It's a nice measure. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a look at another moment.
That's all
right.
Does he have anything in here on Tu B'Shvat?
He doesn't have a section.
He doesn't.
Is there alcohol?
Yes.
He said 7 o'clock would be okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, John.
There's a... Could we do an Ozzy Osher? That's always a good one.
Yeah, we'll take some clear sense. Ozzy Osher, referring to the sun and the sea. Stated in future tense, you know, this Ozzy Osher. It doesn't say then they sang. It says then he will sing. And the remnants is to the redemption of the Jewish people in the time of Mashiach. Sheni Soreru Bechinas Shira said the dimension of song was awakened. Sheyesh B'chol Nivra, which is contained in every created being. Every creature has a facet within it, which is called the facet of song. K'moshar Kasub B'perek Shira. And we know this from what is called a Perek Shira, which goes through and relates the song that each creature sings to Hashem, the birds and the different animals. And
is that a medrash? I mean, it's in some Siddurim,
yes.
But is it a medrash?
Yes,
is that the source of
that? Mm-hmm. Because that talui ba'avodas ha'adam from Moshe Kosta b'rokom acher, he says very briefly that, however, this is all dependent upon the avoda, the hard work of the person. To bring out the song from a person requires work, but not only that, to bring out the song of creation, not just within ourselves, but the song of all of the universe, that requires the work of the human being. Ashira l'Hashem ki ga'ogah, and they started off saying, I will sing to Hashem because ga'ogah, which means he is very, very great. Now, very, very is an understatement, right? It means that all greatness belongs to God. Period.
Totally awesome as opposed to awesome.
How could it be so that a person could sing before God? Because we're very small, we're very limited. So how is it that we can say a song or sing a song before him? Rock. Kifima Shayodeya. It is according to our own knowledge and understanding, Shakol Hagvahus, Hu LaHashem Yisporah. When we know that true greatness, that all greatness really belongs to God, and we recognize that, then our song is inspired by God's greatness. So his question was, we're very limited, we're very small. How can we reach outside of that to sing to God? We reach outside of our own limitations by recognizing God's greatness. Gama shenimsa hisnasus ba'adam tzadik higeus Hashem. Even greatness which is attained by a human being who becomes a tzadik also is greatness that comes from God. Kifi amitas yediyazu Yuchal Lehishkamesh Begavus Kamosha Kasu Bayigba Liba. It is only a person who truly knows that their greatness comes from God that they can function properly within their great stature. As it says about David HaMelech, Vayigba Libo, his heart was great with Hashem, and that was a compliment that the Navi stated. It was not saying that he was full of pride. He understood how to function in the realm of greatness, being a great person. And he says the only way a person can do that is by knowing that greatness belongs to God.
Is this connected to Parkinson's and others,
right? I don't know.
More Brothers' little muscle in the story.
Oh, what?
There was a harp that David HaMelech hung over his bed.
Yeah, the wind would go on at midnight.
And wake him up at midnight, right?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Why does one's smallness of stature raise a question? Make us ask how one can sing to God. Why can't one just sing at one's own small level and leave it at that? Why is it a phenomenon?
It's a good question. And I think that what you're saying is also one approach. This is a different approach, but what you're saying is correct. That we, whatever we are and whoever we are, we can sing before God no matter how small we are. That's coming to an answer to this question through the approach of humility. It says, yes, I'm truly very small, but with whatever God gave me, I'm gonna sing. That is an approach.
And so why? And from this approach,
how is it sufficient? Hashem is infinitely great. How is our song, which is so limited, how is it sufficient? How can we bridge that gap between the limited person and the infinite God?
We see this. I don't understand. What is this question of sufficiency?
It's that very basic question that people ask a lot, which I think doesn't bother you, which is good.
No, I don't understand. I really don't understand. I'm not grasping the concept.
I think you don't understand because you're beyond it. I truly believe that. A person often thinks, how am I worthy enough to serve God? How am I possibly worthy to stand before the Creator of the universe? But you've reached a resolution with that. But there's a very basic, bothersome question that sometimes a person confronts, who am I to stand before the Creator? And this approach is by recognizing where the greatness truly belongs. Your approach is one of recognizing one's own smallness. They're both the derech in a Avodah Session.
So is what you're saying that no matter how great you think you are, or how worthy or unworthy you think you are, no matter what you think, your greatness and your worthiness are still nothing as compared to the greatness of Hashem.
Of Hashem, not only that, but also that any measure of greatness which is found comes from Hashem.
Okay.
So if one thinks, he says a tzaddik really could not be self-involved and feeling proud of their own greatness, because that kind of self-centered feeling about greatness is not attached Hashem. A tzaddik can only handle greatness if they're attaching that somehow to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
It's like what you've said before, humility is, true humility is not self-deprecation, but just awareness of the greatness of God.
Where you stand.
And you have both there. You have in the Peleoids, he says, Joel, along your lines, that there was a machlokus between the two great tzaddikim, the Rebbe Reb Zusha and the Rebbe Reb Elimelech, as to how to approach Avodas Hashem. Do you focus on God's greatness and be oveid like that, or do we focus on our own smallness and we're oveid like that? And they approached the Maggid, and he said both approaches are valid. Both of them are oveid.
It seems to me we have a right to this in our Seder of Davening, because by Kriya Shema Katana, that's part of the Birchas HaShachar, where we say Ma'anu Ma'chayenu, that these are really those questions. What am I? What is my voda? What is all these things? And then we go, and what do we say? We say Pesukah Zimra. Then we sing Shira.
Very good.
That's very nice. I was thinking of maybe of an analogy for Joel's question. You're an artist. let's say that you were to stand before the greatest artist in the world. Do you think that you could do your craft in their presence? Could you say, you know, I'm going to do my thing in the presence of somebody who is, you know, Michelangelo or whoever it might be? Or would somebody just say, I can't even put my brush to the canvas because Michelangelo is right in front of me. You know, what am I doing?
Well, we're in that situation anyway, always.
Right. But I think that's the feeling. You're saying, what's the question? Right. So, Lahavdil, infinitely more so, we're standing in the presence of God. How can we even begin? So one approach is, you know, Hashem says this is who you are, and whoever you are is fine. Just do what you need to do. And the other is by recognizing Hashem's greatness, and then that inspires us to act because it's toward Him, not toward us.
There's a version of this question in Gemara Megillah, I think, where somebody comes to lead Davi. This is, I think, the four fixed Tefillos, and it's going on how great, you know, it's the whole part.
He's praising Hashem.
Praising Hashem.
Right.
And then when he finishes, the Chachamim say to him, have you said enough yet?
Right.
Have you finished saying the praises of Hashem?
Yeah.
If you really need to say that much, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have said that much.
Right.
But Moshe Rabbeinu only said this, this, and this, and that's all you deserve to say. Because if that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, after all his experience with Hashem, could say, then anything more is too much.
Yes. Right. That's the other side of the question. That you're, you know, most of them are trying to work on
by doing this,
saying what I can from my humble state.
Does this release the songs, the sparks of creation in inanimate objects? Do we, as human beings,
I believe that's
by exercising our free will, are those songs being released in the world? I mean, not through ourselves, okay? But I mean, in ways only that we can release them, because they can't do that, get any higher than they are, than they, you know, were created.
Right, they're stagnant.
There are some sidurims, there are some orders of prayer that have Perek Shira in them every day for this reason, because sort of by our singing, we sort of include or lift up all the songs of all creation.
This also seems to be saying starting with a guitar is out of tune, and then as you practice learning guitar and practice Yiddish peg, it gets more and more in tune.
Tuning your into your guitar.
Yeah.
Or it's
and
still
it sounds
out of tune.
Better.
Or you got to change the strings.
You really think
it's
in tune, right?
It's like it's in tune. That's the humble side.
You think it's in tune.
Call
but
it
is it really a tune compared to the ultimate?
Well, as I get closer to get it tuned.
But our, you know, it's talking about Shira here, but really I don't think it's necessarily talking about, maybe it's obvious to everybody, it's not talking about singing. I mean, it is talking about singing, but it's not talking, whatever it is we do is our song.
Right.
And whatever we do in our life, every day, trying to bring Kedusha into the world and how we behave ourselves and how we do our jobs and how we relate to our families and how we relate to each other, that's all part of our song. So really we're talking about our avodah to Hashem when we're talking about our shir. Everything we do is really our singing to Hashem. It's not just when we sit down and read, you know, do the pasuk, you know, as your shir. It's we're singing to Hashem right now, each in our own way.
Okay.
Some of us are tone deaf.
Okay, we'll finish this off.
I forget you.
Kishira, Eino Yafa Yom. He says, song, objectively speaking now, song can only be said by an elevated heart. In other words, it comes from a place of elevation. V'zeh al yidei sheyedu be'emes ki go'o go'o kanal. When they knew that true exaltedness belongs to God, then they could sing. The Shira hi achar hi siyashrus leva adam. Then he says another point. Song follows the straightening of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very challenging statement, I think. It follows the heart becoming straight. The Ken Shamati Me'adoni Zakeni, he says he heard from his grandfather, it says, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. To the straight of heart is simcha. Those who get simcha have a straight, upright heart. Shal yidei yishras halev ba simcha. It is through a straight and upright heart that joy is attained. V'achar shenigalu mikol asher avar aleihem. After the Jewish people were redeemed from all of the travails, all of the horrible things that occurred to them and the mighty challenges of Mitzrayim, v'nisyasher lohem derech Hashem Yisborach, and it became clarified to them the straightness of the way of God, v'hevinu ma shenohag osam Hashem Yisborach mitefila v'atzov, and they understood retroactively all that had befallen them from God. They could see it, why it was necessary and how it took them to a certain place. V'zeh lashon shira, and this is also a meaning, a dimension of the word shir, kamo shur, which means to glance, to see, excuse me, shehu kav hayashur, which is the straight path.
Sure,
straight path.
Yeah.
Straightness.
Yeah.
I said to see.
Shur means like a row, right?
Pardon?
Or like a row.
Shura and shur, right. Kav hayashur, it's a straight path. V'chein benigun, and likewise he said in melody, when one actually sings a melody, Shemisacher aliyah v'yerida. That's a beautiful thought. Because in a melody, the going up and the going down are all blended into one song. So you look at it and you see the rise and the fall of a melody, like the rise and the fall of a person's life. The Nikra Shira, that is called a song. Very nice.
He's not talking about harmony.
What's that?
He's not talking about harmony there. He's talking about just the...
He's talking about
music
melody.
In general. What
the
makes
melody.
Music?
Right. The melody. Harmony is
how does the song
Harmony is
after you cut it out, Bob.
Join along.
We'll make a happy tradition.